Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek, episode number 103. I'm Mike Earl.
Randy Orvis.
And today, this day in May, it's the 23rd,
16th? Or the 16th.
At least the 23rd is a Thursday, right? Yeah, that's today. If it was the 23rd, we'd already know about the Xbox 720.
One piece, Mike, you can't skip ahead. You got to go one step at a time. This isn't Microsoft's week.
Oh. Yeah, because it's WWDC in June.
Yep.
Beginning of June, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Boom, boom, boom.
I know.
Knocking them down. Anyways, yeah, it's the 16th of May. It's 8 o'clock Thursday night. Here we are.
It is 8-something p.m.
8-something.
17. That's what we can promise you.
8-something.
Yep.
I don't think we've ever started after 9, so...
We've started before, I guess. I guess we can't even promise that. Hmm. Unless we start changing time zones on them.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock somewhere.
It's 8 o'clock somewhere.
So anyway, we're going to talk about the usual tech news and...
Whatever.
Anything else we decide that we feel like we should talk about. Like me yawning.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Knock it off.
I don't know what that's about. Anyway, let's just kick it off. It's been pretty busy yesterday.
Can we start with the bottom?
Start with the bottom?
Yeah.
Move it on up?
Yeah.
Pebble?
Pebble.
Do you have something to say about Pebble?
Yeah. Pebble is getting smart finally. When they had first started, they were going to just be iOS. They're just going to be an iOS swatch. But... Now,
they're coming to Android.
They've been on Android, haven't they?
Mm-mm.
Mm.
No, they couldn't talk to Android.
Could not talk to them.
Nice.
Yep.
Finally figured it out, huh?
So, well, no, I lied. They could. I think they could talk to each one, but for some reason, I think there was like different pieces of software.
Right.
To do it, where now it's built in. That's what it is.
That's good. Good for them.
Yeah.
Catching on.
It's cool. I don't know. I think they look cool. Do I want one? Meh. Not really.
I don't know.
They look kind of cool, though.
I've never
I like the black one.
Never worn a watch, really, in my life.
I know. I mean, I used to wear watches, but then I got over it. But I've been looking
at
watches
lately. You mean like when you were
12? Yeah. I had a wind-up watch.
Literally, I was 12.
Probably.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get a Swatch.
And then you'd have to get a S4.
I know.
But maybe you get a... We'll save that for later. So Square, I don't think we ever talked about it, but they are getting a little bit into Foursquare territory too, but with check-ins. But they announced a new stand for the iPad registrar.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
It's pretty nifty. They're not too terribly expensive, and with the amount of small businesses
$299?
That are using them, I think it makes pretty good sense.
Right.
Because right now, I think everybody has to use their own stands and what have you.
Right. So basically,
I mean, there's a lot of third-party app people that make random ones, but...
Basically, Square came up with their own point-of-sale stand. And it has the card reader built in. So it actually doesn't look like a iPad with this little thing sticking out of it. It looks like a kind of like a new wave cash register.
Like from the Jetsons.
That's my Jetsons sound.
Okay. Yesterday, during Google... Does I/O stand for something? Input, output?
That's the only thing I can come up with, but...
Like, since power, right? Like, kind of like power, right? I don't know. I.O. Google I.O.
It's like when you look at power switches and they have an I and an O. Ignition and off.
I think it's really like a not open circuit and an open circuit.
Correct.
So maybe it really does have an any. It doesn't have an any.
But the
I
is where the power is, and wouldn't the O be on, technically?
Because you want the loop, right? It's weird stuff. Anyway, before we get, delve deep into some weird philosophy
stuff, I
guess.
You're trying to push
this
along? What, do you got something going on tonight?
No, I just think we need to get to the...
I know.
There's bigger
news. Continue on.
This is Little Fish to Fry.
Apple.
Usually the story is the fish to fry at the end, you know.
I know.
But I you wanted to Google it up.
Yeah.
Apple.
They hit a little milestone.
It hit their 50 billionth app.
Was it you?
Downloaded. No, and I timed it out right. See, I was pissed.
How close were you?
Well, no, like, I checked earlier in the day, and I knew it was getting close. So I've been checking more frequently. I kind of figured out about the time that it would happen. And I was, like, saving, because I think updates count as, you know, downloads, because you're downloading right. again, right? So I was like, well, I'll save all my updates, and I'll try to do them all then. And then, like, I was watching Google I.O. all day, and then, like, then work got busy, and then suddenly it was, like, 3 hours, like, I hadn't checked. I was, like, an hour behind in my feed, because I was doing stuff at work. And then I was like, dang it, I forgot all about it. And I was so mad, like, because it happened, because usually the last few times that they've done big numbers, it's been in China, because it's been overnight. And right. so that's when more people are obviously active, and so the odds are in their favor. But this time it was like prime time. It was like 3 in the afternoon central time that it was going to happen, like 3:30, I figured. It's right around that, I think. And I was like, oh, I forgot all about it. And then it was over, and someone in Ohio won. Jerks in Ohio with their Google Fiber. Do they have a Google Fiber in Ohio yet? No. Jerks in Ohio with their swing statedness and downloading the 50th billion app. Anyway, that's my rant. You're typing a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very rapidly.
Sorry.
Yeah. And some other little Apple things while we're just on Apple.
Can't just let it be a Google week.
Tim Cook has to go to court to talk about their recent transactions, because instead of bringing their cash that they have from offshore, they decided to hand out debt to pay off the stocks they wanted to buy back. And so in doing that, everyone's like, why would they go into debt to do that when they have the money? But really, it's because they didn't want to bring, because they would have paid a ton in taxes to bring the money back onshore, like, cause it's offshore. So now the FTC has to appeal before, like, a hearing to talk about, I feel like, what how can they do anything against that? Like, what can they do? The money's offshore. It's their business. Like, they can't really enforce anything, right? But it's, like, a hearing about their tax policies.
That's what I was going to say. I guess it technically could be a form of tax evasion.
Yeah, so he has to go stand before a court for that, apparently. And then, also, they got sort of in trouble. The ebook thing is still going on. Like, you know, it's come out that they are, like, the latest thing was, like, there's this email from Steve Jobs to Robert Murdoch of News of the World or whatever it is, basically giving out the options about how they can force the industry where they want it, I guess, essentially, which is why they're in trouble. And now the courts are essentially saying that Apple was the ringleader of this whole scheme. I don't know. So, and they are using stuff that they said they wouldn't originally from the Steve Jobs biography guy's notes, Walter Isaacson, from when he was interviewing him and stuff and following him around. It's crazy stuff. See, like, that was mostly negative Apple news. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. But I just thought I'd get that out.
Thanks.
So an asteroid. The size of Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, it's going to pass close. I didn't catch what distance, but it's supposed to be, like, extremely visible in 2 weeks.
The Golden Gate Bridge isn't that big.
Yeah, it's only, what, 2 miles across?
Week.
For an asteroid, that's pretty tiny.
It really is in the grand scale of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see if I can catch how far it is. It'll be... Oh, whoa. That's actually kind of close, I guess. When you compare it to...
How far away other planets are?
Yeah. So there's the orbit for Venus, and that's the orbit for Mars. And those both, you can see, like, Venus is extremely bright, and that's where this asteroid is supposed to pass.
That's crazy.
For all of you that can't see...
Which
is all of you. We'll only get about 3.6 million miles within our planet. 3.6 million.
That's not close.
Unless you compare it to Google's cars and the distance that their unmanned, or and the distance that their Street View cars have driven since they started doing it.
Ooh.
Which is 5 million miles that they've logged.
It's pretty impressive.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. They made, they made the first music video in space.
It's true.
That's kind of funny. That sort of thing.
They're cool.
NASA? Or who?
All of the above.
There's only one of the above. Or who?
Google.
Anyway, do you want to talk about Google? Or do you want to talk about LulzSec?
No, we'll go to LulzSec and then we'll kick it in.
LulzSec.
LulzSec. So we talked about them. I feel like it's been so long, but it's probably been like 4 months maybe. 3 months.
We've talked about it more recently than that. We're talking about Cebu.
More than 3 months?
No, I think it's been more recent. Because Cebu was like back in the news. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
The hackers that were caught because of their awesome leader, Cebu, they're getting sentenced, actually, and they will be sentenced in the UK with 1 to 3 years of prison time. So, I don't know. It seems kind of lame to me. Like, it seems like a waste of time and money.
Them little suckers. So, I don't know if anyone paid any attention yesterday, but there's this little conference that kicked off.
A kick it.
Called Google Input Output.
Google I.O.
I called it Input Output.
I caught that. It was good.
So, it's Google, and then I don't know really if it's Google fashion, and they decided to have the world's longest keynote.
It was good, though. Because what I liked about the keynote was it needed to be that long, I believe. And what I liked about it was that they went semi-in-depth about everything that they were going to cover in the 2 days, but not overly in-depth with what they're going to cover. So, like, you could watch... So the keynote was from 9 in the morning there till
12:30.
So 3.5-hour keynote. And then after that, there's a 45-minute break. And then it kicked off. The rest of the afternoon was, like, topic-specific.
Because it's a developer. It's a conference aimed at developers. The keynote always has a lot of press in it, just like WWDC. The keynote isn't really for the developers, although the rest of the conference is. The thing with Google, though, is they mixed a lot of the consumer stuff with the developer stuff. So that made it... That's partially what was long.
Right.
And then the end, of course. But we'll get to that.
So.
Where did they start? Or where do you want to start? What do you want to talk about first? Google-wise.
I guess we'll start with Android. I know there was speculation in the press saying that there was possibly going to be. Well, kind of went back and forth. That there would be a new version of Android. 4.3 or 5.0. Key lime pie, but everything that I had followed really was going the opposite way, saying that they weren't ready, that they were going to push it back. There was no announcement of a new Android version.
Really? So, they didn't talk about Android a lot at all, I felt
They just talked about
some numbers.
Milestones. Yeah. So they'd talked about 2011, there was 100 million devices had been activated. In 2012, there was 400 million new devices activated, and then the number that I IM'd you right away about was, it said 2013 numbers, and it was 900 million, and that one I wasn't sure about, and I think what you said you had found was that was total.
It's like year to date, and I think, or not like year to date, but like Android since birth, that's how many devices they've activated.
So,
and I think that's what the other numbers were too. Like, I think it's by 2011 they had, like, so you could see its growth.
Yep, that makes sense.
So I mean, in a year, then from the 2011 to 2012, they had done 300 million new phones, and now since last year they've done 500 million new devices, which is crazy.
Is that not insane?
Yeah.
I see what I'm doing here. So, yeah, 900 million devices registered. The one thing that was cool was, so Apple just hit 50 billion, and Gmail just hit their 48 billion app installs.
Yep.
Just before the conference, and 2.5 billion of that was just in the last month.
That's pretty crazy.
Which is, that's unbelievable. So that's pretty cool. And that was kind of really all that they had to say. That's
all the Android.
I mean, well, they talked, Google Play Store. If you listen today, there was a lot of stuff about Android, but I didn't listen to any of the developer stuff.
They talked about Google Play as a whole a lot, which I guess is kind of like what they jumped into from Android.
Yep.
Well,
they talked a little bit about Chrome also.
Yeah.
The quick touch point I had with Chrome was they have 750 million active users of Chrome.
Quite a bit.
Which is unbelievable. And that's, you think, you know, 900 million Android phones out there, and Chrome only works on Ice Cream Sandwich and above. So that number really isn't that high coming from the phone world. It's really all desktops, which is cool. Do you use Chrome on your phone, or do you use Safari?
I go back and forth.
Why?
Because things natively open in Safari.
Gotcha. Can you set that?
No, and that's one of the big things in the wish list, and that's why like people have been making a big deal, because Gmail on iOS was recently updated, and so it goes straight to Chrome, YouTube, and Google Maps instead of the Apple versions from Gmail, if you open any links from Gmail now. And like, so they're like, oh, that's Google's workaround. And a lot of other apps have built in, like Tweetbot is what I use for Twitter. And gotcha. they're a huge developer. They're pretty big. I mean, I don't think they're on Android, but
correct
for iOS, but they allow you to open straight to Chrome. Like, you have the option in the settings, right?
That's cool.
But you can't set it like,
you can't set it natively.
Natively to all apps. So only if the app developer has built it in, which a lot of the bigger ones have. I really don't use Chrome. Like, I don't honestly just browse the web a lot. It's usually following links.
Yep.
And if I really want to look at something, I just use the Google search app on my phone.
Gotcha.
Which also has Google Now in it, which I do play with. Sometimes I'll turn it on and play with it, even though it's not as nice to use as it is on Android, which I think we talked about on the show before. Yep.
Well, that's, like I was saying, neither here nor there. We've talked about it. Go listen to our old podcast if you want
to hear that. So I do use Chrome. And it, like, Chrome is on, like, if I could show you, like, Chrome is on my main page and Safari's not. Safari's somewhere else. I don't even know where it is. It just always opens. And I'd go back and forth on my computer, too. But on the Windows computer I use at work, I always use Chrome, so.
Yeah, that's what I'd put. If you follow us on Facebook, you'd see that I was making comments here and there about the Google I.O., and I'd put, you know, it's like, what's your excuse, basically, for not using Chrome? Because at this point, there's really no reason
to. I found it amusing, and you're really making me nervous with what you're doing right now.
I'm making myself nervous.
He's trying to get ice out of a cup into a bottle, but it's like directly water over his computer, and it's weirding me out.
Safe, Mike.
It's definitely not his work computer. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Oh, it was funny to me. There's like, so we're going to get to it, but they did a little Q&A at the end, and one of the guys worked for Mozilla, and I thought that was funny.
That was funny.
Like, he was at, like,
who the like as a
representative of Mozilla on top of it. Like, they're sending someone to the Chrome, and I get it, because they develop for Android. They have a browser, right? But it's just weird, and it makes sense, too, because Chrome, they were probably on Android before Chrome was, really.
Yep.
But it was just weird. Like, he's like, I work for Mozilla. It's like, really? Of all places? You're going to throw that out first? But, yeah. Chrome's good. They didn't talk to, what did you want to mention about Chrome? Just how many installs they had?
Yeah, just the 750. The thing that surprised me was hearing 750 million active users, not installs. That's, I mean, people actively using it, which is cool.
I can't remember what they called it, but they're essentially trying to remake standards for the web, it sounded like, with Chrome.
Yeah.
With picture sizes and videos, and, like, they're going to rewrite HTML and CSS into their other, is that... I don't know if that was on just the mobile version or if it was on everything. Over.
There was an article that I didn't get a chance to read today that was...
It had some weird... It's just letters for a name, so...
Yeah, it's new, like, it's a new standard.
It's like P standard or something weird like that.
But it's like they showed the stats for video straight... Well, it's new ways to encode pictures and videos.
Yeah.
And the total size for videos... I mean, it was almost half.
It was, yeah. And like the bandwidth it took up was super low compared to the other standard, you know.
Yeah, and
MP4
it was,
or whatever.
And the same with the picture also.
And it was the same was quality same, is what they were showing.
Exactly.
It's just helping things load faster and whatnot. I don't know.
Because they were...
That, it's weird how they went, like, so far from, like, such basic consumer stuff to, like, really talking about developer stuff sometimes.
It... Okay, yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that. But
no, that was really cool. And I meant to put that in here.
And then there was, because the other weird developer stuff they did get about Android was helping build apps. Like, they had some new service using, I don't know what they were using.
Like a new app builder, and they said the name of it.
And it's based off something that's pretty popular already, but it basically allows you to render your app in real time, and every change you make in the code will directly show up, and you can have it on like all the different screen sizes.
Yeah, it's like basically like having a split screen, or dual monitors, you know. And like typically, you'd have to compile your code and then run it on whatever device you want. But it builds like a virtual device, and they showed, you know, like, pretty much every phone out there is what you have available to you.
And I think, one of the main reasons is they're helping work around developers having to deal with such fragmentation. That's why to show all the different devices, it helps everyone see it a lot better. And then they had some crazy translator built in that they added now to translate apps into other languages.
Yep.
Which was pretty crazy. I mean, it makes sense because they already have Google Translate.
Right.
And there was one. Oh, and then analytics built right into...
Oh, that...
Instead of being in Google Analytics separately, it was built into, what do you call...
Like the API stuff? No,
Your dashboard for your app. Like, the analytics are built into that now, so you don't have to go to two places to look at your regular stuff and then your analytics. They're all built into one place. They're trying... I mean, obviously, their goal is to make developers it easier for developers, because they want more people to make Android apps, because they're still fighting that battle. Even though they're catching up, it's still, that's one of the only things they're really losing in at this point. So that was the more heavy developer heavy stuff that they talked about, I think. Then they did revamp the Google Play Store, or Google Play Games. Not the whole store, right?
Is the entire all of Google, I feel like, minus Google.com, got a facelift.
Because Google.com doesn't ever change, right?
Right.
So they updated the entire Play Store to make it easier to search for, like, separated out, I think, books and apps and stuff better. And then recommendations are a huge part of it now. Yep. I don't know that they were before.
Yeah,
I don't
spend
a lot of time in the Play Store, let's be honest.
Right. No, they didn't. Or they had them available, but it was an inconvenience sort of to get to.
And now it seems like it's right and splashed on your front page all the time.
Yes. It's really nice. And they did a good job at unifying the feel from what it looks like when I go from my phone to when I go to my Nexus 7 to when I even just browse on my computer.
And I feel like it makes a lot of the things they did was Googleify a lot of their services. Like, they're getting back to the analytics of things. Like, recommendations is something that should be very easy for them, because they're a data company. I mean, they're going to harvest your data. They're going to find out the best way to take that information and make it useful to you again, right? Like, that's what Google's about. I mean, start with their base of search, right? I mean, and targeting ads, really. But, I mean, with everything they introduced, I feel like it was a lot of how can we use the data we have already and make it more useful.
Right.
I read a really interesting article. The gist of it was basically that now that Google's not fighting everything, like, they're kind of...
They're on
the same even keel with, like, Apple, and, like, Microsoft's really an afterthought at this point for everyone. like they're getting back to being Google and not battling for Android.
Yep. Well, and Android's finally settled sort of in its place in the market as a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not viable option, but, you know, it's like, it's a key player out there.
It's not just, okay, it's, you can't afford an iPhone, here's an alternative.
Right. You know, it's, they're not trying to
look
fight
at this first.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
And then along with the Google Play Store, they added Google Play, I don't know what it's called, Google Play Games? Game Center. Game Center is what it's called on iOS. So I doubt that's what it's really called on...
I think that's what it's called.
But it's essentially the same thing as the iOS counterpart, except for this will be multi-platform. It'll actually... Well, no, because iOS is too, but it's on OS X now. But it's basically a way to invite people to games, and they're actually killing off Google Plus games as of, like, June 30th.
Yep.
Google
Plus games. And it'll be available on June 30th.
Yeah, so they're putting it all, and they showed a game which they failed to do, like, three times. It failed on stage, but it's a big conference. You expect that. I mean,
right, that's what I was
saying. Always going to be one demo failed of the day, right?
Well, even Apple, you know, every conference has had that, because you have how many thousand developers...
And the Wi-Fi.
Or people on the same Wi-Fi, you know, live blog. And Google at least lets people... live blog it from there.
Well, they stream
live
it themselves.
Stream it, where, because, you know, there was people that had it actually streaming via Glass.
Oh, nice.
Did I link you to one of them?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I'd meant to. I sent it to a couple other people. Pretty cool.
But so, basically, the concept is you could play games with each other over Google Play. There's some other Google Cloud stuff they talked about, but it was pretty heavy developer side stuff.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about that.
No.
And then with the Google Play Store, they added Google Music, which I believe they're actually calling All Access.
I didn't catch, I guess. Maybe I missed that.
Maybe that's just like, it's Google Music and All Access is what they're referring to it because it's mixing.
It's kind of like Spotify with Google.
Yeah, so it's essentially Spotify.
I need to...
But they're adding, you can... With Spotify, you can add your own music to it, but then it's in a separate place of... the streaming music, but with Google, it's all in one unified place, so it's a little easier.
I like that.
Have you played with it yet?
Not yet. Didn't have time. I wanted to do it today, but I want to make sure once I sign up for it that I have time aside to where I can play with it for the 30-day trial.
Yep, so there's a 30-day free trial. If you sign up before, I think, June 30th for that, too,
yep.
Instead of it being $9.99, it'll only be $7.99 a month, so... Yeah.
Which,
there's
so
incentive there to hook up. Spotify's $9.99.
Yep.
And I believe some other similar services are. Now, what I wonder about is they didn't talk about how much music they had access to, because the reports were coming in that they had two out of the big four signed.
They had three.
They have three now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And they didn't have... I think they were missing Warner from the Google Music Store still anyway, so I wonder if they're still holding out. I bet they're the ones... and they didn't really talk a lot about how much music. They just said millions of tracks, which is pretty ambiguous.
Right.
But nonetheless, I'm sure it's a good service and the way they integrate things. And again, they talked a lot about recommendations and friends and building playlists. And they had a pretty sweet playlist builder for adding things and moving things around. Was pretty easy.
Google has signed with Universal and Sony, which we knew about, and they just struck a deal with Warner.
Okay.
So, and Warner would have been the one that I would have been worried about, really.
So then there should be one more, but there's four big ones, I think. But whatever.
Warner's the big one that
they had problems with before, yep. So. But yeah, it seemed pretty cool. And they didn't spend a lot of time talking about that either. I mean, that was really the gist of it, right?
Right. The cool thing with all of these announcements was their stock jumped up overnight, almost $20 a share.
It's pretty crazy.
Which is insane.
I saw that it hit 900.
Yeah, it closed at like 904, 905.
Which seems pretty insane.
Yeah.
But they must not have a lot of stock.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how it compares, because like Apple was way ahead of them, and theirs was at like 500. Not saying right now, but before, you know.
Right.
And I felt like Google stock was around 700 then. So I mean, the amount
of
stock available
in the last year. What is? I mean, year to date, or 1 year. In the last year, Google's stocks have gone up all just shy of $300 a share.
That's pretty good.
In the last 12 months.
I should have bought stock a year ago.
Yes.
I did see Google Music breaks compatibility with the Nexus Q if you would have got one when they were out.
Dang.
Bummer, right?
Yeah.
What else did they announce? Galaxy S4?
Yeah, the Galaxy S4 native Google? With raw Android 4.2, which it is awesome, I think. I think it gives... I'm hoping, like when I was talking to you, I said this is really the way... Like, I wish all phones came with an option to have a raw version of Android unlocked. So hopefully this is maybe a sign of things change. To come.
Like, it seemed like before Google just let anyone do whatever they wanted, but maybe now they're like, we're becoming very viable, so we can kind of push our weight around. I mean, they work pretty closely with Samsung, obviously. Right. I saw a report just recently, like, of the phone industry in the U.S. 57% of the profits went to Apple, 43% went to Android, but of the Android's 43%, like, 97% was just Samsung.
That makes sense.
So,
because I think about, like, you think about when the S2 came out and how much that blew
ever
up.
Since then, like, Samsung's been on this just uphill, rampage, you know. They're on the murder train. Yeah, so an S4, $650 though for it. It's unlocked. Raw Android. You get all the updates right away. LTE.
So.
And you get all the features that were on the Samsung without having to deal with whatever it is. They call TouchWiz, I believe, is the Samsung version.
TouchWiz.
Ladies love the Wiz. I feel like there's a lot more. So they talked about Google. They updated Google Now, sort of, but it was more Google search on the web, I feel like, that they were talking about when she was, like, searching for things and talking to the computer. What?
My neighbor's changing. Anyways. Yeah, no, so they
were doing Google search with voice on a computer.
Oh, and the big thing was reminders through Google Now.
Oh, yeah, they added that, which seemed weird that it wasn't there already.
Right. You could set calendar tasks.
I mean, there's weird things in, like, not just Android, but iOS the same way. There's, like, weird little things where, like, it's like really, that wasn't always there? Like, it's, like, a very basic thing. Like, how up until iOS 3.0, they didn't have copy and paste. Like, that's weird, right?
Right. And it was, yeah, because Android had that almost right away.
Yeah, just weird things like that. Or... You know, but. MMS, not just SMS, but right, whatever. So reminders, they added, yeah, she was just like, they're Siri-fying the Google voice search, I feel like. Not in the sense they were making it like Siri, but they were making it like with Siri, they promote it as talk to it in real terms. Talk to it how you would talk to a person, where Google was very specific before. Right. Like, you need to say... very specific things, but they're getting more into the parsing language, I think.
And they're using it more... Like, I feel like people use Siri more as just, like, a novelty.
Right.
Where they were really demoing this as almost an assistant.
Right. And they kept using the word assistant, which is why people compare it to Siri, because that's what they refer to Siri
and
as.
And the way that... The power that Google has with having so much data, it's... I mean, like I was saying, like, I just got... 4.1.1 on my phone last night, and watching some of the stuff that comes through on Google Now on here, and I'd noticed it on my Nexus 7, but I just never, you know, I just kind of didn't pay any attention to it. But the fact, it's like, when I'm at work, I had a notification pop up, and it's like, in the current traffic, it'll take you 18 minutes to get home. I'm like,
ooh, sick burn.
That's sweet, you know, and like... and like little things that you search, and it only, the more Google products you use, the better the stuff that comes through on Google Now. So I was doing some translating stuff, just testing out the new languages, and there was some stuff that popped up on my Google Now on my phone, you know, or I was testing out tonight. I was testing out the new Google Maps cause I got accepted to, preview it.
Which we haven't gotten to yet. So,
right.
But anyway,
it's coming up, but, I had mapped from here to my parents' house by bike, and when I was going home, it, like, it knew that I was leaving work, and it, like, a notification popped up for a new Google Now message, and it was like, if I wanted, it could give me directions by bike, like, to get there. I'm like, who are you?
A creeper?
A
very helpful creeper?
I know, but,
that's,
but it's
the
like,
whole, that's the whole promise of Google Now, right?
The more...
Did you not have Google Now on your phone before?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I had, that's why.
Yeah.
So no, like, we talked about the things. We're like, yeah, that's cool. But to, like, have it happen in real life is, like, super crazy,
well,
right?
Well, see, and I played with it just on my Nexus 7. But this, like, I have this with me all the time.
Right. It's
which
not
is,
the same.
Which has been more... I mean, in the last 24 hours that I've had it, it's been just that much more prevalent, so...
Right.
I think, so I guess Google Maps, they announced, was getting a facelift. Right now, they gave out invites to all the people that attended the conference, and then if you go to maps.google.com/preview, you could sign up to get early access to it. So I did as soon as it was live, and I just got access tonight before I left work and checked it out. And it's... In my head, I was, you know, like, prior to them demoing it on Google I.O., I'm like, how do you make something better that I already think is, like, as good as it can get? And the way that they integrated all of the data that they have about maps in between, like, the Street View, the Zagat's, as little as, like, when you search for... restaurants around the area, you know, having like those stupid little pins everywhere,
yeah,
because it would block like big parts of the map, where they changed that now to where like they're little tiles.
Icons,
basically,
right. Yeah.
And you can click on that and it kind of brings up this little pop-up and you get like, you can see reviews, but it's like it looks the same as what Google Now looks like. So like,
and it changes based on what you click on, too, like the things around that are showing up on the map. Like if you search for a burger joint and then you click on Burger King, well, then it'll change to other fast food restaurants. Like then if you clicked on Subway, it would change to other sandwich shops. And like just, it could lead you through this maze of madness. I played with it a little today. That's what I played with a lot because I got into and it was just like weird little things. Like I was following it to see... Then I was looking at bike paths and...
So. Yeah, no, that's... I was looking at bike paths and...
Well, they're so clearly labeled.
It's just...
And they're incorporating the... They're showing you right away the difference, like, between public transit and... They've built it even more in it. I mean, like, the public transit stuff.
Yeah, you can compare times, like, how long will it take me to get home if I drive? Or if I take the bus?
Yeah, so...
Or if I walk.
They're rolling it out, like, to the apps and stuff. They did a lot with that, too, the Google Maps app. And they're both iOS and Android this summer. There'll be some better stuff coming out for that. It'll be faster and, I think, quicker to download and whatnot. So, yeah, lots of map stuff. And then, like, when you go... The crazy thing was, like, they zoomed all the way out so you could see the Earth. And, like, the clouds were in real time. The stars were in their actual location. And you could go out a little enough to see the sun.
To see the sun.
And that was like...
And the dark side of the Earth, which is cool.
And it was all in real time, which was kind of insane.
It's... Yeah. And then I think the biggest thing out of the entire keynote was the Hangouts.
Well, we'll take a step back.
Whoa.
To Google Plus in general.
Oh. Hello, big changes.
So they said, there's a lot of things we're going to do, but we're going to talk about these three basic things that we're changing. The home stream, the Hangouts, and...
Photos.
And photos, right?
Yep.
So it's really no better way to talk about the stream than to tell you just to go look at it. It's basically real... It was funny.
What do you think of it? Personal opinion.
I don't like... Well, I think they look nice, but I don't like having like three columns like that.
You can change it.
I know.
Okay.
I haven't done it yet. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to change it.
Gotcha.
I did think it was really funny that they were making fun of it, and I told you this when it was happening. Like, they showed a little newspaper, and, like, they're like, no one likes this flat design anymore. And then they showed it, and I thought the model they showed looked a lot like a newspaper. Like, it's a column layout, right. You know, like, it just seemed very, it just amused me, personally. Made me smile a little and mention it to you and to the podcast. But no, like, I like their design. I think where they're headed is good. I don't like the three columns. But like you said, you can change that. But overall, I think it's a good design change. Although I thought it was good before, so...
It's...
I didn't think it was
bad,
but...
It's too bad, like, you had sent me a clip from some article, you know, comparing Google Plus to Facebook. And, like, Google Plus, they both serve the same purpose, but everyone...
For the most part.
Everyone has Facebook right now, so that's why they use that. Like, that's where my population is.
Right.
I personally, like, and I was talking to Gio and Sierra about it, it's like I post almost all of my pictures to Facebook, or I mean to Google Plus or Instagram. Like, I don't have a lot of content on Facebook anymore, minus like random crap. So if you want to see my pictures, go on Google Plus. But it's such a...
Or Instagram.
But it's such a... Being able to share, like, I don't think any of my posts on Google Plus are public.
I mean, they're public enough.
Right. But the one thing that's, like, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, like, the majority of what I would say our friends are, is they don't know that they're technically publishing to the world. Where that's one thing that I really had to work at. Like, every time that Facebook updates their security standards,
you have to go through all your privacy settings.
Where Google is, I mean, it really just defaults to, you tell it on every post basically who you want to share with.
Right.
You know? And they kind of compared it to, and I never saw the diagram before, I guess, but they were like, Facebook, you're assuming that you're sharing with the world, but that's not the way that it is. Because, like I set up groups, like, I've on Google Plus, where I have, like, I've got a general friends category, I've got my podcast category, I've got my drinking buddies category, I've got my Raptor Source category. Because, like, there's stuff that I'll tell you that I wouldn't want my parents to see.
Right.
And there's stuff that I would like to just share with my parents that I don't want everybody else to see, you know? And Google does a really good job at catering to that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I agree. But nobody uses Google Plus. I mean, a few people do.
Right.
And I check it, but I don't put anything there because there's no, well, I don't really put anything anywhere.
Right. And that always shocks me when you post something on, like, Instagram. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah. So, like, but Facebook, really, to me, like, I don't put anything there. Like, you're much more likely to find me on Twitter or Instagram. And really, like, I told you earlier, like, really, I think I could probably get by on Twitter and Instagram. One for pictures and one for text, right? Like, what else would I ever share? I mean, but Twitter's much more like a megaphone. But we've beat that to a lot. We've talked about that like every other week. So they built the stream better. Then they're doing a ton of crazy stuff with pictures, allowing a lot of enhancements.
Enhance.
GIF making.
The GIF making was pretty cool. Not that I would ever use it, but it was pretty cool.
But the idea. A lot of stuff that you could do to your pictures. A lot of people say that was their attack at Flickr. Which I don't think anybody uses Flickr anyway, so right. I don't know why they would, but...
No, I don't think
it was
think
because you could put such large file sizes, that's why they said that.
Right.
Apparently that's what you do on Flickr. I don't use Flickr, so I don't know.
Neither.
There's a lot of picture stuff, you can go play with it if you really want to. But like you said, the biggest thing was the Hangouts.
By far.
So they launched an app on iOS, and are they launching a separate app on Android, or
what?
They
better, because it's pissing me off right now.
It's not built in at all yet, right?
No, it's
not even.
They're still using Google Talk, and if you look, here, I'll show you quick. Like, if you look on my phone, when I go into the Play Store, and I do a search for Hangouts, so... It's the top one.
So what does that mean?
So I'm thinking it's there.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, so that's gay. So right now it's all run. So like when I click on open to open this. It just by default opens up GTOC on here. And so I think that they are...
When I pull it down, that cool little Google ball, you see that?
God, that's sweet.
So so they launched it on iOS, and it's on, it has taken over on, and we were playing around with it. Well, and by we, I mean mostly me.
I played around with it. It's such an awesome...
So it's essentially a messaging app that's going to be built in on the web and on your devices through Google Plus, really. But you don't need Google Plus. I mean, you just need a Google account to use it. It'll encompass... I mean, we talked about the rumor of Babbel, or there's another one that it was going to be called, supposedly. I don't remember what that one was. But essentially, I don't know. It's their way of taking on all these other group messaging features that are out there. GroupMe, iMessage, Facebook Messenger. Maybe it's a big hit at them, I guess. I don't know. But overall, it is, like, the app on iOS is super well built, and I like it a lot. And it'll definitely... It kind of slightly solves your problem of always you want to switch back and forth between computer and phone. But at the same time, it has, right now, it basically still has the same problem as iMessage does, because...
I disagree.
But it's not as available. It's more available, but people still have to have it and use it. Like, anyone on iOS would have to download the app, right? Like,
right, but...
And they do say they plan to integrate it with SMS on Android, at least eventually.
Right, and well, they said very soon. I read a couple articles that sounds like it's going to be within the next 2 months that it'll be out.
And so that'll be a huge help for them.
To me, like I was telling a couple people at work, it's like if Apple would get off their damn high horse and just... Like really, they're I feel like they're very elitist... In it's our software, we don't want anybody else using it. But if that's
they want everybody to use it, they just want you to buy their products to use it with.
If that's the only app that they opened up, they could make so much off of it.
I found out
just off one application.
I found out today, and it's something I never really thought about. But iTunes isn't out on Windows, like it's not compatible with Windows 8, which seems crazy to me. If like how much of a monopoly they basically had for such a long time. And for all those users that switched to Windows 8 and not be able to use it suddenly, like, I feel like, first of all, people buy a lot of music, actually, on iTunes. You'd think that'd be a big deal for them, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, I never really thought about it, because I obviously don't use Windows 8, let alone Windows regularly, but...
Right.
It's kind of off topic, but kind of not at the same time. But, right. So, Hangouts is cool.
Yeah, no, I think this is... the right step in the right direction to have finally a unified messaging app available for all people.
We'll see how well it goes.
How many people, like I know I can say, like, I don't know very many people that don't have Facebook accounts, but I know even less people that don't have Gmail accounts.
You'd be surprised. Like, I look at apps all day a lot, so we do a lot of hiring at work. And, like, it's...
I suppose you would see it more.
A quarter of the people have Gmail. Like, I still see a ton of Hotmail, a ton of Yahoo.
But I see...
AOL every now and then. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of @Q or @Comcast.
What the heck are those doing with them?
What? With those...
Comcast.
No, I mean, like, because they get internet and then you can sign up and people don't think...
Ugh.
Like, it boggles my mind how much I see other things. Like, but, no, a lot of people do. I'm not saying people don't.
No, I get it. So, I guess, in a nutshell, there wasn't a lot of articles that I had to read. I really thought there was going to be a lot of articles coming out today specifically saying... Google needs to do this and this and this and this and this. Like, overall, everybody is really pleased with the direction that they're going.
There's a few things.
Well, there were some people I saw that were like, oh, no new Android version. And it's like, well, effing read your news. There's tons of people who said no.
And it's better for them to focus and not push out something that's half-built.
Right.
I mean, because they have so much going on that...
Well, and it's... I'm finally starting to feel like Google is taking... not taking its time necessarily, but making sure that they have a product like that's not half-assed.
Well, and getting, think all the fun, like, you're not even up to 4.2, so right. What would it matter if 4.3 came out for you? Really? Right. Would it matter?
No.
Because, your Nexus would get it, but there's so many people that need to catch up there that I think it's better for them to wait to get that compatibility before they go on to the next level.
Agreed.
Because of the fragmentation.
Keep going.
No, that's really, that was my ending.
No, the entire keynote just made me... Oh, I guess another thing, and it's not a huge... Like, I don't know... I didn't read enough about it yet, because I ran out of time, but being able to send money through Gmail...
There's a lot of other weird things they added to... There's a lot of weird other things they added to Gmail, too, like accepting invites and stuff. Like, there's a lot of other things, so you would never have to leave Gmail.
Attach.
It's still going on. I mean, IO's still today and tomorrow.
So I guess like overall, I was extremely pleased though. It was nice to see that they're really working on like the redesign for Google+, the redesign for the Play Store, like the as simple as the logo for Hangouts, like everything is coming across as a very polished application. Like they're really working on design. But I think this really goes to show that they are ahead of the game in a lot of ways to making... I almost feel like they really want devices to almost... Like, they want you to be able to do everything from a phone. Like, something extremely portable and have it all... Like, everything is really being pushed to the cloud now, and they're really doing an awesome job at integrating all of their stuff together to make it work that way.
On a side note, and by a side note, it's not actually a side note because it's still about Google.
Okay.
They launched this whole education initiative that we really don't have time to talk about,
right,
or the knowledge to get into fully. About Malaysia. We must kill the Prime Minister of Malaysia. So that was cool. They did a lot of cool stuff there. And they had a crazy track game. I'm going to put maybe one of us will put it up, but The Verge has like a supercut. It's like a 3.5 minute version of the 3.5 hour IO conference, but it cuts it up well enough that you see everything that they launched. So we'll put that on our Facebook page.
What else was he going
to
say?
Larry Page came out at the end.
Damn, that's what I was going to say.
Talked a little.
Is that?
Which some things were kind of funny because of, it was much more of a do as I say, not as I do speech. But it was still... And a lot of people are kind of creeped out by what he said, some of the stuff.
Like which parts?
Like...
Or what parts? Are, like if you know of one.
Like essentially, a lot of the things he said made people think that he wants to start his own country in a way. Like he really feels like the infrastructure we have doesn't support a lot of what he wants to do, basically.
Right.
Like, he's, like, very borderline, super inspirational / crazy. Like, it's just his personality, but...
It's not often that you get to hear him talk in such a fashion.
And he had such a weird voice because of his recent paralysis, which we didn't even talk about, but
right.
Google it if you want to know.
But he is, like, I honestly think he is one of our generation's geniuses. Biggest, I would say, like, Steve Jobs did miracles for the
world.
Personal tech world. And what Larry Page is doing is right up there with what Steve Jobs
created. Right, and a lot of people said, like, you know, since Steve's been gone, like, the world's been kind of looking for that voice again, and they, like, maybe it could be him, like, but at the same time, it's like people don't know if they could still trust. Like, it's like hasn't built the trust yet. Like, not that people trusted
right.
Steve, but you know, he had that persuasion ability, right? The salesman.
He was suave,
right? And Larry's a little more.
Well, he's out.
His ideas are a little further out there. Not that Steve's weren't
right, but that's.
But he would put it to where people.
But
could
one
see
of the,
it was for the best.
One of the quotes. What did I?
And it was just funny because he was talking about how all the negativity was killing them. But then at that same time, they wrote that letter to Windows.
Right.
About they need to take a cease and desist from their own YouTube app because they're blocking their ads. Like, a lot of the stuff he said was very... I think he's really torn. I think that's the problem. Like, they're a business.
Right.
But he doesn't want to be. And I think that's where the problem comes in. I think that's where Eric Schmidt comes in, really.
Right.
And Sergey is just off with Project X.
He's just doing whatever
he wants.
Well, that's...
And Schmidt's running around trying to run a business.
Schmidt is running the business side. Larry's the one that has the visionary. Like, I feel like he's the one... Like, he just wants... Like, I mean, he really needs his own country with his own set of rules where he can just do it. You know,
like, he was talking about Burning Man, like, how you can get away with things there, right?
Yep.
And, like, what is he implying with that? Like, just weird stuff, right?
One of the things that really hit me when he was talking was he was talking about how they really want to build, like, computer AI, self-learning computers. And one of the quotes that I put on our Facebook page, facebook.com/bleedgeek, was... People are starving in the world, not because we don't have enough food, it's because we're not organized enough to solve that problem, and our computers aren't helping us solve that problem. And it's like hearing somebody...
Like, his main theme was, we need to make the computers do the work so we can do the things we enjoy.
Yes. And it was really... It was really fun listening to him talk, because, I mean, he truly is... Like, he... His thought process, like I had said to you, is like, I would love to see what he's thinking about constantly. But one thing that he did that I have not seen any other company CEO do was he took the last hour and did a...
Well, that's really what made it a lot longer, too, the keynote.
Right. And he did, and I'm glad he did. Like, it was really enjoyable listening to him. So it was open forum, mic... an hour worth of questions from the developers there. And they weren't all developers. I mean, there was two kids that I would say were maybe 16, 17.
How did they get in? Jerks.
But I mean, like we had said earlier, you know, there was a guy from Mozilla there. Robert Scoble was there, which I thought was funny.
Cause Larry was like, I didn't really appreciate your picture up with the glass in the shower, which was amusing.
It was funny. But it was really cool listening to him talk. And he basically said, you know, it's like one of the things that's really holding them back is he's like, you know, we have these super fast computers and we've got all this data that we want you guys to use, but we have all of these tiny pipes in between.
Talking about
internet speeds.
And he said gigabits just to start.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Oh man.
They did announce another city in Kansas. Right, was it in Kansas?
Kansas.
I don't remember the city.
Topeka? No.
No, it was some weird one.
Yeah.
Provo. We talked about that last time. It was something else.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I mean, it's just a ton of stuff. Like, we could probably talk about it for another 2 hours.
I really could. Like, this is the one that I'm most excited about because I'm a Google follower. And this year really had... there's a lot of stuff to be excited about. So, that's my story. No Sergey. He's out doing crazy stuff.
He's out making drivable cars and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I had said earlier, the Maps cars had driven Street View cars drove over 55 million miles, which is pretty crazy. So, yeah, that's kind of our story for Google.
Google.
Go Google.
Go Google.
A lot of cool stuff.
I'll put up that, like I said, that supercut either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page. And they had a really cool feature on The Verge about Hangouts as well.
Yeah.
Check it out.
TheVerge.com. Maybe they'll link us back.
Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, I talk too much shit about...
Josh.
Eric.
Next week, Tuesday, Microsoft's having their Xbox event, so we'll see what's going on with that.
Whoa.
What?
The Verge wasn't coming up. I haven't hit F5 like a couple times. It's pretty slow.
The other day it wasn't going. Their RSS was down. That was making me crazy. Anyways,
so
that's our show.
That's our show. If you liked our show and you don't like us on Facebook, what's your problem?
Go click the like button.
Go click the like button. Facebook.com/bleedgeek. Are you a tweeter? A twitterer?
Follow us.
Give us a follow. We won't spam you.
Too much?
Yeah. Twitter.com/bleedgeek.
Or at bleedgeek.
Mm-hmm.
If you just have something you'd only like us to know, you could always email us. fans@bleedgeek.com. Or you could give us a call at 406-794-3357.
It's true.
You could follow us on Tumblr, too, if you really want to. Bleedgeek.tumblr.com.
It's true as well.
Or you could follow us individually. I am at Mike037 on Twitter and Instagram.
I am at TheCrandall with two L's.
And you could go follow Fowler at BleedGeekMovies.
True. Did you know Yahoo's going to try buying Tumblr?
For real?
Yeah.
I saw that they made a deal with Twitter to integrate Twitter into their homepage somehow.
Isn't that crazy?
They're doing $1 billion. For real? Mm-hmm. Only $1 billion? I think like they're worth way more than that.
I think Tumblr would be worth more than that.
A lot more than Instagram or Waze. Waze is like, we're supposed to be done right now, but yeah. I just want to say that the amount of articles about the impact the Waze purchase is going to have on, like, they're from some weird Middle Eastern country, right? Afghanistan or something? Saudi Arabia, maybe? Like, that's where they're based out and that's where they are. Like, the impact that the purchase is going to have on the country, I've seen a ton about that lately, and I don't even understand, like, I didn't read them, I guess. That's probably why I don't understand it, but it just boggles my mind. Anyway,
we'll talk more about it next week, maybe.
If you want to talk about it now, you can go hit me up on Twitter, and we could talk.
Yep. Or give us a call, and we'll call you back.
Thanks for listening. You know.
You're Mike Earl.
I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis. Go Google.
Have a good night.